Yeah, so go ahead.
Well, thanks for nicely inviting me here today to talk about our spiritual engagement in the world, and tell me if I'm starting to get really boring. I was just thinking on my way over here, I think it's almost exactly 9 years ago that I really fully committed to it. Spiritual path, and I went on some field retreat with three Ratna guys up in Yorkshire just after I'd been to a rave the night before. And anyway, I had this amazing experience, as I think so many of us had in that space. And so I think coming back here now, this question of how to live a really fully engaged spiritual life, like I suppose for so many of us in this room, it feels definitely, you know, one of, if not my kind of central passions. I think it's at the heart of, you know, of healing ourselves and the world. And this comes at a really kind of big time for me, this discussion, because I've, by some happenstance, I've ended up being put forward as a people power MP in the election. That's what I'm currently doing. And for the last sort of 10 years, as Martin here is, this other Martin Vogel, I've been a kind of democracy campaigner for the last decade or so in various forms. But what's, I think what's, one of the things that's really shifted for me in terms of my practice, and I don't know how it is for you guys in your meditation practice, but something's happened in the last, I don't know, 18 months, 2 years, whereby, you know, in the past, I would, you know, because I was quite good at being disciplined, I would sit down and meditate, and I still do, but now I have no choice. It's like a magnetic, even like, you know, on the tube, on the train, engaging with the beautiful buildings that is in London. I mean, I'm one of these people who did move out of London a few years ago. Not really because I necessarily wanted to leave London, but because, you know, it's expensive. My family, like so many of us, we get kind of pushed out. But I'm very happy with, and it has been quite a spiritual experience for me to go to nature and just feel the vibrancy of nature in a really sort of embodied way. But by getting that connection, when I revisited London, it's like, you know, when I step off the train in Paddington, you know, it's like I feel alive. It's like the energy of the people, the sense of possibility, the diversity. It's, I can feel it just flowing through my bones. And honestly, for me, it's like a tonic. It's such a tonic, and it's just as much as the tonic as going to like Martin's Mulan in Kubjak, which I've been to many times now, which I also deeply love, and I'm praying he fails to sell. And so in terms of what's really come online for me recently is that I have essentially two projects in my life. One is my family. I have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I have to, you know, and I have to get them to bed on time, and I have to make sure that they're kind of vaguely happy, and there are deadlines, and they need to be fed, and it's kind of like, it's like that. And I run a small social consultancy, and there are deadlines, and there's money to be raised, and there are clients to be kept happy, and, you know, and it's quite full. My life feels fairly full. Just after the after the Scottish referendum, back in September, I don't know if you guys remember that at all, but I was in the pub next door to my house. It's so close to my house that the baby monitor stretches to the bar, which is very convenient. So I was in the bar having like freaking out on Fridays, having a drink with a friend of mine who's also a political geek called Tom. And we were both kind of thinking how amazing it had been in Scotland and about how depressing it is, the shell of democracy that we have in this country. And there's a larger-than-life landlord there, Rob, and he slammed the table, you know, the bar after a few drinks. He said, "Richard, you should stand, you know, for election." And I was like, "Rob, you know, independent candidates, I think 4 of 1 in the last 60 years in this country, it's like winning the lottery, there's no point, you know." And he said, "Richard, you know, it's not about changing, it's not about winning, it's about trying to change the system." And it really hit me, and I thought, you know what, Rodder, you know, you're absolutely right. And in that moment, I just felt the same feeling that I get in my current meditation practice, when I feel like I've got to meditate. I mean, you know, I'm being pulled into it because of my need to connect, you know, with the universe. And when he said, "Richard, you know, you should stand," I felt, I know I'm not going to be able to ignore that, but my life is way, way too full. And I felt all that, and I was like, you know, just feeling the sense of that. And then I met with a friend of mine, Preeti, who knows that I'm, you know, we talk about spiritual stuff. And yeah, and I said to her this dilemma, she said, well, Richard, look, I'll support you in this, but on one condition, that we really treat it as a spiritual practice, and we just, you know, we follow the breadcrumbs, we do sense and respond, we think if it's working, then we drop it. If we need to change things, then we follow the energy, really see it as a way of nourishing ourselves, both in terms of how we do it, how we engage with other people, so exactly what Martin was saying before, not falling into the binary classical response that we know is in all of life, but particularly in politics. I mean, it's so, I find it so corrosive, that, you know, kind of that manufactured adversariality, and to really try and stay true to our desires to be, you know, it's a cliche, but to try and be that change of a different way of doing things anyway. And we've only really been working on it since October, so it's very, very recent, and there's been a lot of momentum around it. But if it's been challenging, so for example, I'm a bit of a spiritual, I suppose, adventurer. I was very much committed to kind of insight tradition, or Triratna, then insight, and now I do something mostly with waking down. That's my key practice, which has been for a few years. It's more a tantric practice, it's very embodied, but I still feel very committed to my meditation practice. I think that what Martin said before is so central around, certainly in a world that I operate in, like, you know, the way of holding paradox, the idea that we can be sort of both simultaneously passionate and detached. You know, my experience is most people do not understand that. And I need to be around people who can convince me that I'm not a lunatic. Because the people that I work with, and I'm even worrying about this video, who might see it, because, you know, the people that are my clients sometimes might think Richard, you know, is a lunatic for doing this kind of thing, or for holding these kinds of values. And so that space of having a sangha feels, you know, phenomenally important. And certainly with my spiritual practice, what's been wonderful is about the sense of connection I feel, but I am much more sensitive. You know, when people call me, I've been called, you know, incredibly abusive things on Twitter or on Facebook. You know, being able to, the resilience that's requiring for me to be able to both, you know, honour the reality of the situation, but also, and the example I was using with Martin before, I just happened to bump into him, Pret-a-Manger. I was writing an article last week about trying to live in the modern world and honour it, the injustice. Like, I was thinking of a sandwich. You know, we go and buy a sandwich for $1.99 or $2.99, you know, and to get that sandwich, you know, freshly put in the supermarket, wrapped up with beautiful kind of sunrise tomatoes for $2.99. The injustice embodied in that sandwich is just incredible. I mean, you know, it's like slave labor in different countries. It's the air miles, it's the plastic, it's the pollution. I mean, it's just infinite, isn't it, in all kind of directions. And there's something about being able to bite into that sandwich, enjoy the sun-dried tomatoes, and honor the fact that they've been picked by people who are not being paid enough. But like meeting that and really feeling that and wanting that to change, but enjoying, you know, the wonderful distribution network of Pret-a-Manger. But there's something in that for me that is kind of so incredibly rich. And anyway, and so around this whole My Stroud MP thing, which is my core activity, so, you know, for example, today, and we were hoping to get some money from the Roundtree Trust to support it. It hasn't come forward, and I was really thinking they would say yes. They funded me before, they haven't. And so right now I'm holding the fact that I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I feel kind of deep inside me these two senses that once I really want to honour this. I think we have a chance to change the political system in the UK, but also, as Martha was talking about, I've got a 1-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a partner, you know, who would probably benefit from me spending far more time at home and not being in London, you know, at events like this or other things, because I think they're really important. So, I don't know, I just feel like I'm spending so much of my life in this zone of one waking down, they call the core wound, which is between where we are and where we want to be, the kind of wide skis, the kind of, like, one of the fertile zone of possibility, but really being in that space feels to me like it just feels so creative and so potential. And the one final thing I'd just like to share is just how I wrote a I wrote a little book last year called Antihero, all about kind of being a kind of spiritual leader. And I based it on lots of academics' works, people like Bill Talbot. If you're in the integral world, you might have heard of some of these guys. And basically, a lot of them hated the book. They slated it. They said it was completely rubbish because I deliberately communicated it with in very simple language and kind of quite binary language, because I wasn't trying to communicate to the people who understood it, but to try and communicate to a different kind of audience. And I really feel validated because it's been downloaded thousands of times. It's proven, according to some of the academics, that they've come back to me since then. They've said, Richard, more people have read your publication than read any of mine in the last 30 years. So I feel really validated by it. But at the time of publication, these people that I respected were quite aggressive against who I was. So I think there's something about, sensing into what we think is appropriate whilst being kind of open to the potential of kind of being wrong and being true. I don't know if that's helpful.
Thank you.